Hello guys, welcome to yet another course, another module under course 201. I'm very glad to welcome you to this course. You have expressed full commitment and discipline towards your learning and your growth, and it's really commendable. Well done. I understand that it's as though the more you advance, the more there are things that there are circumstances that are posing threats in the way. It's understandable because the devil would always fight your access to light. He would always fight your interaction with higher light. But we thank God for you that you are still very much around, and you have given the monk mentality towards this center. So very quickly, we have been on course 201, and yes, this is the last module under this course. Wow, it's been such a long one, and we've journeyed from the kingdom concept to aligning with the kingdom concept. And while we spoke of aligning with the kingdom concept, we basically understood the place of righteousness, the place of obedience, and the place of alignment. Yes, we came to understand where our own place is in relationship to the kingdom. We came to full flesh understanding of who we are as kings. Alright, so today, this is course 203, that is module 3 under course 201. We'll be looking at the kingdom intent. I know by now you should be very familiar with the word intent. So, but we'll be looking at the kingdom intent, because having journeyed from understanding the kingdom concept to aligning with the kingdom concept, today I'll be attempting to bring perspective to all we have said about the kingdom. Because yes, it's okay to be excited you're a king. It's okay to be excited I'm a kingdom man, I'm a kingdom woman, I have dominion. It's all very beautiful to be excited about it. As a matter of fact, you should be excited about it because it's a heritage in Christ. But the question is, what about? You're a king, yes? You keep shouting that you're a king. What about? Scripture says that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So if your kingship dominion is not expressing that which the word of the Lord has said, then why excited about it? So what I'm attempting to do is, we have graduated, we have journeyed, we have gotten excited with the whole idea of, I am a kingdom person, I belong to the kingdom, I have a kingdom, I am a king, I have a domain. But you need to, the concept of a domain is broad in its it's broad in itself if you can't decompose and deconstruct it in a way that you can walk in a reality that can reproduce that kingdom on the earth. All right, because God would always, when the Lord teaches us things in the word, they are called eternities. They are called eternities because there are things that they carry eternal realities, but you must be able to walk in congruence with the spirit to decompose that which is an eternity, to bring it into time and function within the construct of that reality to reproduce the desired result. All right, so we have consistently established how that God's intention was kingdom. We have established from the very beginning, since when we started looking at light mastery, that God's intention is kingdom. God's intention was simply that he would create a domain and he would have sons who will lead as kings in that domain. So recreating the kingdom of heaven on the earth. So we have understood, and at this point I believe that we have our minds are naturally structured presently to believe that God's intention was actually the kingdom, is the kingdom, will always be the kingdom. However, for this kingdom to be manifested through us, there has to be a strategy. Remember, I said these are eternities, they are eternal realities. You need to bring it you need to bring it into perspective in a way that you can move. All right? Because you can't just keep saying kingdom as a broad thing. You can't keep expressing kingdom from a standpoint of the broader sense without understanding how to make it realistic, or else you will not be socially relevant. And remember, we said our aim at the Ignition Center is local relevance and global dominance. And one major imbalance we have with we Christians is that we express eternities with so much excitement, but we don't know how to navigate through them to make it a living reality. So we can talk deep, we can understand a whole lot of things from the Bible and its rhema to us, but to replicate it in the world that we are in, to actually be an authority, now becomes a problem. And that is what I do not want for everyone generally, both people connected to the Ignition Center and people not, because we believe that as we grow, a whole lot of persons will always come on board. That is why I said that you should try your best to be an ambassador of the center. What you are learning here, you would actually want people you know to gain understanding from it, right? So this leads us to the kingdom's intent or idea. It leads us to the kingdom's intent or idea. Now, God did not give man dominion over people. That's the first thing I'll be explaining in the aspect of the kingdom intention. God did not give man dominion over people. Scripture says, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the cattle, over every creeping thing. What God did was he gave man dominion over things. He gave man dominion over every other thing except from people. He gave man dominion over things which included his own giftings, which included his own abilities, which included his own potentials, but not to lead over people. The dominion was not over people. It was a dominion over things and over him. All right? And so for man to express kingdom, that is one domain. For man to express kingdom, king domain, a domain, for man to be a king over a domain, we established last week that to be a king is to have influence over a territory. So for man to actually express kingdom, that is for man to actually gain influence or have influence over a territory, there is a particular domain he is first expected to govern. He is first expected to influence. He is first expected to sit. And it is the area of his gifting. It is the area of his gifting. Man is expected to first lead this territory excellently. The territory of self. The territory of self. Because he has a natural inclination to control things. Man has a natural inclination to want to control things. It's normal. That's the reason why you want to have money. That's the reason why you want to get married at a particular age. That's the reason why you want to do things in a certain way, because you want to have control over it. So the territory of self has to be governed because of this natural inclination, because it will keep you on check. Imagine if Jesus came to the earth and he wasn't a well-governed person, when the devil took him to the tower and tempted him 3 times, he would have lost it. He would have lost it. But he was able to be a self-governed entity, to be able to weigh things on a balance and see that, okay, I do not have to go after this thing. Because it's a natural innate desire. It's a natural inclination. It's just a natural thing for you to want to have control over things. Alright? Now, let's break it down when we say self. Now, when I say self, I do not mean self in a fleshy sense. I do not mean self in a carnal sense. I do not mean self in a mere soulish sense for the sake of context. Alright? Now, when I say self, I speak of the wholeness of man's being. I speak of man. Man as a spirit, man as a soul, and man as a body. And I have established in a previous course that man isn't simply spirit. The spirit is his essence, but man isn't simply spirit. No, man isn't simply spirit, because when you say man is simply spirit, we have a whole lot of carnal Christians who live more from their soulish realm than from the spiritual realm. So man isn't simply spirit. Scripture says there is a spirit in man. So man has a spirit, man has a soul, and man has a body. That is what makes man man. Ordinarily, the spirit should be the governor of the entirety of man's makeup. That's the idea. That the spirit should actually be the governor of the entirety of man's makeup. And as a kingdom citizen, like we established last week still, that you must come under the government of the kingdom that you are from. That way your spirit can be the governor of the entirety of your being, which is your advantage as a matter of fact. So the spirit, influenced by God's spirit, should further superimpose on the soul, causing the soul to navigate in alignment with God's desire to yield result. I'll repeat that. The spirit, influenced by God's spirit, should superimpose on the soul, causing the soul to navigate in alignment with God's desire to yield result. What does this mean? Yes, you are a spiritual being. Yes, you're a kingdom citizen. But you need to understand that it does not end at your spirit. It does not end at simply spirituality. This is why, as a kingdom person, you must understand that what God is doing is not about church, it's about kingdom. So for whatever you are called to do, you must be able to translate your essence from the spiritual into a realistic context that can be relevant in the sphere that we are in. I don't know if you get that. I do hope you get that. If not, please take note and you could ask me questions. All right. So the spirit, influenced by God's spirit, should superimpose on the soul, causing the soul to navigate in alignment with God's desire to yield result. That is, for instance, your personal development does not come off as what I actually want. That is where people get it wrong. It doesn't first come off as what I actually want. Spiritual growth, personal growth, it first comes from an alignment with your spirit based on your assignment for a season, which is God's project in you for that season. Then the Holy Spirit structures a curriculum. How do you know He structures a curriculum? During that particular season of your life, He creates certain burdens and impression in your heart to go along a certain pathway, to develop a particular knowledge well, and to close a particular knowledge gap. I hope you get this. So, it's important that you understand that your spirit superimposes itself on your soul, and it causes that soul to navigate in alignment with God's desire. So when the Lord structures a curriculum out, which comes now so that terms don't confuse you. I'm not saying God will now come and tell you, okay, study this, read this, do this. Yes, there are people that happens to. It happens to me a whole lot of times. That is a possibility. It could happen to you too. But there are times when God just impressed in your heart. You just feel an impression in your heart that, okay, I need to study this. I want to study this. You do not know why particularly, but it could either be one for an assignment of that season which relates to you doing something, or for an assignment in that season which relates to you in being or becoming something. All right, so in development of your purpose, yeah, God sets the track, you follow, but there is a level of influence that you must enforce to manifest your spirit's reality. The spirit is what is responsible for the navigation. The spirit is what is responsible for the decomposition. The spirit is what is responsible for all of these things in relationship to your purpose, in relationship to your purpose, which is the kingdom. God sets the track, yes. God organizes it. Either you know it or you don't know it. We are functioning according to a script, not actually a script that we want to function with. We are functioning according to a script, actually. So God sets the track, you follow, but there is a level of influence you must enforce to manifest your spirit's reality. This was why in the, and I'm going to connect this to the very beginning, because I've said that whatever you're basing your presumptions on should have its roots and its expression in the book of beginnings, which is the book of Genesis. All right, and this was the issue with the first man. The first man was given that level of influence to enforce, to manifest the reality. And what was that level of influence? Of all the fruit in this garden, of all the trees in this garden, eat, but of this don't eat. Now you already have influence. For God to give you an instruction shows that he has placed in you that influence to enforce something, to produce something. So you could decide, since he said don't eat, you have the ability to say no, but yet you still went for that to eat it. So the force that God actually places in you is a force that I have termed self-leadership. And for context, I repeat, self does not imply soulish or fleshly or carnal, as it were. Self-leadership implies the entirety. Self implies the entirety of the wholeness of man. Yes? So this force is self-leadership. The ability to lead, to govern, to influence your own self. Now think of yourself as a government, because you are actually a government. Scripture says that you are the church. The church is the ecclesia, and the meaning of the ecclesia is a government. The ecclesia does not mean a gathering of people. Now let's draw a line. What we call church today is that they're actually synagogues. There is a difference between a church and a synagogue. The church is the ecclesia, synagogue is the synagogue, and synagogue speaks of a gathering of people, while the church speaks of an ecclesia, which is a government. All right, so you must see yourself first as a government, because you are a government. You're sent from a government to represent a government, to bring about a government. So you are first the government, and to represent the government you are sent from, and to manifest and bring forth another government, then you must first approach yourself from a point of governance. You are sent as a governor, but you can't go and govern any state without first governing yourself, because it is from the standpoint of that which you've governed in yourself, you get legal authority to be able to govern a state. I hope you get this. And you must learn to follow the impulses of the spirit to actually govern yourself. But you must govern yourself. You must be able to. There are things you must be able to structure. You must be able to influence yourself in every area to get to that point where you are an authority, where you are an authorized kingdom citizen. Because we are all kingdom citizens, but what differentiates us is the level of authority that we can reproduce in the physical. That is why you must learn that you might be a priest, but for your priesthood, it has to be translated to social relevance. It has to be translated to relevance in the domain you've been sent to conquer. If you live simply in the spirit without bringing the life in the spirit to the soul and to the earth, the domain you are in, then what's the point? You are not living to die. I would always say that. And you did not come to earth to go to heaven. You didn't come to earth to go back to heaven. Your assignment is not in heaven. Your assignment is on earth. So why is living on earth and you're living like you are simply a passerby? You're not a passerby. You're not a passerby on the earth. You are a governor of it. And that is what the Lord has sent you to do. So this first is self-leadership. So let's make an effort towards understanding this concept, this skill of self-leadership, because like I'll always say, when a concept is not understood, it would always lead to misconception. So self-leadership is the ability to influence yourself to accomplish your assignment and achieve your full potential. It's the ability to influence yourself to accomplish your assignment and achieve your full potential. Do you see this? That is why I said that self-leadership is a force. You have to forcefully influence a reality by first leading yourself. And as someone who is a self-leader, yes, you have an understanding of purpose, you have an understanding of the kingdom, then you now ask yourself, in relation to this, what role, what posture do I take? How do I conform to this image? How do I act based on this reality that I have been seen, I have been given, that I have been handed? For instance, God is sending me to the sphere of business and economy, and He's telling me that I will be His number one man and I would influence the nation, the continent of Africa, in policy making as regards the economy, and decision makers globally would come to my feet for wisdom, and a whole lot of this and a whole lot of that will happen because He has sent me to that sphere of business and economy. Now, since the Lord has given me that instruction as a kingdom person, It becomes your own responsibility to sit down with this information and ask yourself, lead yourself into a process of governance from your source. However, that is, at this point, you sit down and you ask yourself, what do I do daily? This is where goals, what we call goal setting and vision, comes into the picture. Alright, do you see that a whole lot of things that we know outside the Word of God is actually in the Word of God? But many times we just want to go out, and because we don't have understanding of it. So when God gives you such an assignment, what you ask yourself is, okay, what do I do every day that takes me closer to this? Now, in doing something every day, it's not a matter of go and start up this, go and start up that. It is first a process of being. And as a matter of fact, your whole life is a journey of being, because you are God's project. It's a journey of being, your being. All right? So you ask yourself, what do I do daily? And you must understand that the members of your body many times will fail you. That is why self-leadership is important. That's why Apostle Paul keeps saying things like, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. Now, I'm bringing this into context here, although he meant things that, for instance, things that you actually don't want to do. But now, in context here, things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. You must be disciplined, but many times indiscipline is the easiest route, where you're like, there is no point. As a matter of fact, I'm recording this course in the very early hours of the morning. This is 3 a.m. Nigerian time. Ordinarily, I shouldn't want to wake up every day at a particular time. I should love to sleep, because truth is, there are a whole lot of persons that they don't do much, they sleep well, they have money, they are living well, they have a beautiful family. But we, the assignment God has given us transcend us, because it's not about us, it's about a kingdom. So there is a level of influence you must first give to yourself to be able to enforce that reality. Because you cannot lead any sphere that God is sending you to without first leading yourself. It's not possible. You will never get there. It will only be a daydream. You won't get there. That it's not debatable. It's just the truth. You won't get there. If God is sending you into a sphere, God is sending you into a place as a kingdom citizen, you are representing to recreate the kingdom of heaven in that particular sphere, you must understand that the first thing is that the kingdom is within you. And the kingdom within you must first work in you, to govern your members, to govern your own ideologies and philosophy before you can go out. And that is the secret to relevance. Alright, so if you've been asking yourself, what is the secret to relevance? Now, we said local relevance and global dominance. How can I be local relevant? You must be a person of self-leadership. You must be a person given to reproduce the reality of the kingdom of God within you, to govern your own self into that reality. Because the kingdom of God within you should affect you before affecting the world. Do you see this? So you must be able to lead yourself accordingly to that which the Lord has handed you. Now, here's the balance. We have a whole lot of persons leading themselves in an area of ambition, not what God has ordained concerning them. But now, this is your advantage. That is the reason why you would be an authority in where God has sent you to. Do you see? So it doesn't just happen. You do not just be an authority or a representation in recreating the kingdom of the earth without understanding this. And you must understand that it is not sweet. It is painful, because growth will come with pain. Come on, you're carrying the burden of generations. So it's not supposed to be sweet. But the burden is light, truthfully. Yes, the burden is light, because God is always going to help you. He's always going to hold you by the hands, except you make it difficult for yourself. But it's not a sweet thing. Growth is hard. Growth is painful, because the natural man is lazy. The natural man wants to chill. The natural man wants to rest. But at the Ignition Center, we are raising kingdom ambassadors and change makers. We are raising people who would go into every sphere of influence and conquer it. That is why if you went through our fourfold mandate, we have a fourfold mandate to immerse, to ignite, to activate, and to release authentic men who would expressly dominate every sphere of influence. You cannot dominate any sphere without first a domination on your own sphere. That is yourself sphere. So in the area of the gifts, and this is the reason why for everything, for whatever message God has placed in you, for those called into ministry, for wherever God is sending you into, the first thing that happens is your life becomes that reality. You start to experience it. All right, God starts to fashion certain experiences, certain situations that gives you a tangible and realistic experience of that which He's drawing you into, such that when you go out to represent the sphere you're sent to or the message that you've been giving, you are not coming to say it like you are a lecturer. Your life literally speaks it. Your life literally exudes it. Do you see this? So to lead as a kingdom person, understanding the kingdom means that you should understand that the intention of the kingdom being recreating the kingdom of heaven on the earth cannot happen if the domain, which is the territory of you, is not conquered. So what I want you to ask yourself today is, am I a great self-leader? Am I leading myself effectively with the help of the Holy Spirit in line with that which the Lord has said concerning me? Am I doing that? Because truth is, when you look at scriptures, how man fell was simply because they were very poor self-leaders. What do I mean? Eve had the ability to say no, but she interacted with the alien and divulged. Do you see this? So when you have not been able to lead the first domain, which is yourself, you would always have issues with releasing your identity to something else. You would always push your identity to someone else. You would always give blames. You can see that Eve was not a very good self-leader, because when God came, what happened? She moved the blame to the serpent. The serpent moved the blame. Then the man moved the blame from the woman to the serpent. And as someone who is to govern the you territory, you must understand that you are not to be given to excuses or blame pushing. You are a person of responsibility. This is why nothing is your problem. Life is designed to be good, no matter the circumstance that you're in. Yes, we know there are a whole lot of persons with different circumstances. Okay, I have this. If you know what I'm going through, stop pitying yourself. When you start to make statements like, if you actually know what I'm going through, you're trying to exaggerate something. That you are in that circumstance means that you are a savior in that circumstance. All right, God will not place certain things around you as consecrations or as an experience that you cannot handle, because God is not a wicked God. All right, do you see this? So you must understand who you are, what you stand for. All right, now who you are speaks of your identity in Christ. What you stand for speaks of the kingdom, and you must be able to make certain tangible, authentic, kingdom-based decisions on long-term visions. That is, now I know who I am. I know my image. I know that I am a kingdom citizen. I have an understanding of my purpose to a large extent. I know, okay, this is why the Lord has brought me into the world. This is the script I am living. This is the script I am born to live. This is the script I am born to fulfill. So what you do is, it now becomes a deliberate effort to make decisions that would affect the fact that this is who I am. In respect to, because who you are, who God has said you are, like we discussed earlier, is an end. You're walking. It's something that is already a finished work. It's a finished work. But you must be able to translate that reality by being fruitful. Do you see the connection? When we looked at unfolding the fourfold missions, we talked about the first stage, which was fruitfulness. So you can't convert these eternal realities into social relevant realities without that mission of fruitfulness, without growing, without becoming. And you don't just grow and become. You put in effort. You put in effort. It's a thing of leadership. It's a thing of governance. You must be able to govern. And truth is, the hardest thing to do is to actually govern yourself. And this is why you need to understand, as one sent into a sphere, that the authority to man a sphere would only be granted unto you on account of acute self-governance, on account of how well you've been able to influence the territory of yourself. Do you see this? So it's very painful, and it's the hardest thing to do. It's easier to lead people. It's easier to lead people because when you lead people, you are the good guy and you can easily cover up everything. You can be bossy, you can be a tyrant. It's easier to lead people. It's easier to tell somebody, move that thing from there and put it here. But while you are standing, you can't move it and move it from there to the other side. And God is not breeding fake men. The season that we are in is a season where authenticity is exaggerated. God is raising and releasing authentic men. And I strongly believe that for everyone listening to this, the Lord is grooming in you, and he's sharpening your voice, he's sharpening something in you that will cause you to be an authority in the field that God has sent you. All right, so you must understand the concept of self-governance in relation to the kingdom. You must understand that there are certain things you need to place a peg on. There are certain decisions you have to make. This involves certain relationships that you are in, certain relationships you have to get into, or certain relationships you have to break. Do you see this? This involves in certain routines you have to apply to your life. This involves in certain habits you have to inculcate. Do you see this? Now, this whole topic of self-leadership is a very broad spectrum. So if you need deeper understanding of this in relation to how to become, how to pattern yourself in a way where you can lead yourself to lead others, to influence yourself to lead, influence others, not just in spiritual development, but in personal and professional development, then the Ignition Center is beautifully for you. And I'm glad that you're here. Although the topic of self-leadership will be fully covered in the advanced course for the sake of progressive growth. Alright, so we've been able to establish in this particular module that you have to be a great self-leader, and you start from now. What do you do every day? It's not entirely about leaving your comfort zone, particularly. It's about expanding that zone you actually call a comfort zone to fit into that which you want to be. For instance, my bed is a comfort zone. But whenever I wake up, most of the things I do is on my bed. What I have done is I have expanded the comfort zone in my head, in my mind, in reality, such that within that comfort zone, I can still do that which I have to do without the pressures of the comfort zone. Because for many of us, the comfort zone is what leads us. The comfort zone is what pressures us. It's not like you have to get out of the unknown. You can stay in the known, but learn to expand it. This is a whole message, and if you can catch this, you will do yourself a whole lot of good. So do you see this? So if you want to be a great self-leader, like I said, you must be able to answer certain questions, and these questions are questions we have directly or indirectly handled from the beginning of this course. From the beginning of this course, from Life Mastery to this Kingdom Blueprint, is something that we have actually handled. Questions like, who are you? How are you to make a difference? And where is your life going? These are things that you actually should understand. Who are you? How are you supposed to make a difference? That speaks of your purpose. What's your unique gifting? What's your unique voice? How has God trained you? What's your authentic person? What's your authentic you? Who is the authentic you? Do you see this? So it's important for you to be a great self-leader. For wherever God is sending you to, that is how to be an authority. That is how to be an authority. For some of you, the Lord will have you go to school. Yes. So some of you, the Lord will have you, okay, you're done with your BSc, now move to Masters. You're done with your Masters, now move to PhD. You're done with your PhD, now just get a professional degree. Yes. For where God is sending you to, it is a very strong possibility. And I will explain that subsequently. It's a very, very strong possibility. Very, very strong possibility. For some of you, you would go to school, but school might not be anything required in where God is sending you to. But not that you may not go. You may go and you may not. Do you see this? So you must be able to understand that to gain relevance locally, dominance globally, one, you must have an understanding of the kingdom, which involves you governing yourself because you're a government. All right? I do hope you actually understand this, because there are a whole lot of juicy secrets that are hidden within the corridors of all I have said. So this is a particular module you want to listen and listen and listen again to be able to crack all of the juices in it, all right, so that you can experience a drastic change. And at this point, I'm sure that you've made up your mind that you're going to be going further from the elementary to the advanced, because you don't want to stop at the elementary. I was writing out some of the things for the advanced course, and I was really super excited for persons who'll be on board. And trust me, well, you'll get to know that when we are wrapping up. It's going to be in a way that it's actually going to really favor you. But that's that, yeah? So, you should make plans towards attending the advanced. It's just a very humble and sincere advice, actually, because it would really do you a whole lot of good. But I'm sure this has blessed you and this has done you so, so much good. And I'm sure you've been jotting down. I'm sure you should actually have questions. Yes, you should have questions. Don't assume that you understand everything. Don't assume. Because one thing with assuming that you understand everything is one day you would want to get insight into something and you're like, wait, Faith said something in this area. What exactly did she even mean? So don't demean the power of simplicity. Don't assume you understand everything. Ask questions, no matter how foolish, no matter how stupid. You can only be foolish once. And after that time, that's the end. All right? So we'll talk more at the end of the day in the class group. And I do hope to see you. I do hope to have your questions. And I do hope that this has, again, restructured, shifted your mindset and implanted something that can push and trigger you to become more. Don't forget, you are in a process, you are in a journey of immersion, of ignition, and of activation for release. All right, so enjoy the process. I love you and God bless you.